Hi, I'm John. I'm a sinner. That is my great disease, my great problem, my great fault of agency, but I'm not able to overcome it myself, and you can't either. Good news is we're part of a spiritual community. We're part of a fellowship, and here, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. There is hope. There is a way out, and it is with God. I can't, but God can. I think I'll let him. And all of this leads to step four. We're looking at the 12 steps as a framework for spiritual growth, really just a design for living. Whether or not you think you have an identified addiction, we're focusing today, we started this in our last episode, so if you didn't see that, take a look at it, on step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. We're getting to the heavy lifting here. Now, why would we do this? Well, because, as Neil Plantinga wrote, self-deception has long been a growth industry. And there's all kinds of psychological research now that backs this sort of thing up. We take more responsibility for our successes, and we take less responsibility for our failures. We remember voting for winning candidates that we did not vote for. The average business person thinks that they have above average business ethics. The average person thinks they're better able to detect truth than other people. The average person thinks they're going to live longer than most other people. That's why Sigmund Freud, one of his rare jokes, he liked to tell the story of the man who said to his wife, "If one of us dies first, I think I'll move to Paris." We have what's called an incentive bias. Upton Sinclair noted, "It's very difficult to get a man to understand something if his salary depends on his not understanding it." So, fearless and searching moral inventory. One more kind of preparatory word. You may be saying to yourself, "I've tried it before. It doesn't work." Often people mistake introspection for taking a moral inventory. So let's take a moment to distinguish them. Introspection often involves kind of rumination, where I'm just spiraling around generally over negative things that I have said or that I have done. That does not lead to self-awareness. In fact, Tasha Urich, a researcher, actually found that people who are more introspective are actually less self-aware than others. In a moral inventory, this is not a continued spiral. It's very limited, very focused. Awareness. This is part of why writing something down is really careful. Writing prevents limitless rumination. Introspection is something that I do all by myself. The moral inventory is something I do with God. Our key scripture passage here from Psalm 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I'm not doing this. I'm asking God's help, and God and I do this together. Introspection tends to be quite vague and general and cloudy. The moral inventory is quite specific, one step at a time. Introspection tends to be quite negative. In a moral inventory, I'm taking an inventory, I'm looking at both the positive side and the negative side. Wise people have always understood that this needs to be done in order to live well. Epicurus said, "The knowledge of our errors is the beginning of our salvation." Now, we all love to take inventory of other people. That's why Jesus said, "Why do you say to your neighbor, why do you notice the speck in your neighbor's eye and you don't notice that there's a plank in your own? Or say to your neighbor, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' while there's a plank in your own." Hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye. That's what we're doing in step four. We're doing exactly what Jesus talked about. We are seeking to take the beam, the plank, out of our eye. I mentioned last time, folks will sometimes use frameworks like the seven deadly sins. They might use the Ten Commandments, other methods. I want to tell you today, the kind of gold standard in recovery circles for walking through this. It's quite thorough. It takes some time. I've gone through the fourth step now a few different times, and I find it super helpful. This is how it goes. I don't begin by listing things that I remember that I have done wrong. I begin by listing things that I remember other people have done wrong to me. Now, this is absolutely brilliant. It's counterintuitive, but here's the thing. If I step on your toes, you might say, ouch, I may not remember that. But if you step on my toes, I will remember that very vividly for sometimes. Why? Because I feel the pain of it. I don't feel the pain when I feel the pain of harm that's done to me much more vividly than the pain that I inflict on other people. So I'm better at remembering that. So when it comes to doing the 12 steps, that's where we actually start. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about this, but get a piece of paper and then you'll want to put it in four columns. And the first one is, I resent. And then the second one is for, what was the event that took place? And then the third column is because, what was threatened? And then the fourth column is where we get down to business. And that is, what was my response? What was my part in this? What did I do wrong? So a word about the first column now. You begin with the first column. We start with that. I'm resentful at, and then write down, and just to get you started, this is a resentment inventory prompt sheet. People, institutions, principles that I might resent. Father, mother, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, clergy, oops. Police, lawyers, judges, doctors, employers, employees, co-workers, in-laws, husbands, wives, exes, creditors, childhood friends, school friends, teachers, lifelong friends, best friends, acquaintances, girlfriends, boyfriends, parole officer, probation officer, people at church, and then institutions. Marriage, the Bible, church, religion, law, authority, government, the IRS, education system, mental health system. And then other categories that might be principles, Ten Commandments, heaven and hell, sin, the golden rule, God. Okay. All of those are things where I might find resentment, which is just a killer of the soul. So this is a little more in-depth version of the work that I'm going to do. I'm going to write this down. Now, I'll just pause here for a moment and say, I know. Everything inside of us pushes away at this particular step, at the fourth step. Just feels overwhelming. Let me tell you, it's a bit like doing something that you've been putting off for a long time. And when you finally get around to it, because you didn't want to go there, part of what you find that is when I begin to take action, when I take a next step there, it's not impossible. It's actually doing. And energy begins to flow when I start taking action in an area, especially here, looking at myself, looking at my life that I have been neglecting for a long time. I just invite you. Try it. If you find yourself really resisting step four, you might go back to step three and just work through. Have I really turned my life and will over to the care of God? Or you might go back to step one. Have I really acknowledged, have I come to believe that I am powerless over my ultimate problems? My life really is unmanageable. So you might want to revisit earlier steps if you find yourself pushing back. But as you begin to do this, you'll discover actually it's doable. That's for sure what I found, even though it took a while. And in that first column, I write down names. Now, probably for any one given name, especially the people that are close to me, there'll be a number of events. Hey, it's Nancy. I'm just talking about resentments. You want to say anything?
No.
Okay. I'll talk to you in a little bit. I write down what was the event that I resented them for. And then what got threatened, and then what was my response? So, for example, I'm at the table with a group of people, and I'm about to express an opinion. I'm kind of in it, and somebody who shall remain nameless but might have been in this video with me already kicks me under the table. Now, that meant you should stop talking. That was the event. That was the person. So then why did I resent that? Well, because of my pride. My pride was hurt. You might think about when you're looking at the what was the cause of this, those basic parts of the self that can get threatened. Self-esteem, pride, emotional security, pocketbook, ambitions, personal relations, or sex relations. Okay. In that case, it's pride. My pride was threatened. And then what was my response? Well, I withdrew. It's what I do. I just got kind of cold. Or one of my children, this is a real recent thing. We're having a conversation last night around the table. Somebody mentioned a topic. I don't remember what it was, but I remember a story. It's kind of interesting about that topic. So I start to tell that story. And then that child kind of rolls their eyes, kind of laughs a little bit. It's kind of teasing. But I knew every time this topic comes up, you tell that story. And then I found myself resentful. Why? Well, my pride was hurt. Like, you're saying this to me as though I'm mansplaining. Do you understand? I am a man, and that's what I do. I explain stuff. I get paid to explain stuff, mansplaining, but my pride is hurt. So then what's my response? Well, I withdraw just a little bit, just avoid a little eye contact. Or some time ago, I remember we pulled some people in a church together trying to figure out how could we be more effective. And asked the question, and one of the attenders, I still remember this sometime later, looked at me and said, I thought in preaching you would challenge me more. There would be more courageous confrontation from you that would call me to something better. And my pride was kind of hurt. And so I just withdrew a little bit. Now, what you might notice as you look at what part of me was threatened and what was my response, you might have noticed this as I was talking with you, certain patterns will emerge where then I begin to see, oh yeah, it's not just that there's a random series of sins, bad behavior, wrong thinking, and so on my part. There are areas of particular sensitivity, and there are habits of attack or withdrawal, the way that I use words, the way I respond to other people, that I begin to notice after a time. Now, that's going to inform us as we keep moving on in steps 6 and 7, where I'm going to become entirely ready for God to remove my defects of character. So step 4, as to after I go through it and I look at it and notice the patterns and the connections, is part of what I will use to identify, because knowledge of our errors is the beginning of our salvation. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. I think it's 1 Corinthians 11:28, talking about communion. And he says, let a person examine themselves. That's what we're talking about. So in step 4, those categories, those columns, and I do that work. And when I'm all through with it, then I can take a look and find out what parts of me are most easily threatened. And what are the patterns, my defects of character, that I will especially need to look at? I know. This one can be a bit overwhelming. I promise you it's doable. It is not writing our inventory, it's not taking our inventory that is painful, it's resisting it. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished an episode from our series, Steps, which is based on John's new book releasing February 4th, also called Steps. So if you are catching this video before February 4th, you might want to pre-order that book. You can do that at our website, becomenew.com/steps. There you can also subscribe to the daily video so that whenever we release a new episode, you'll be sure to receive it. We're a community that believes in spiritual growth one day at a time. And a part of that is prayer. So there is a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for the Become New community and viewers just like yourself. If you have a prayer request, we'd love to pray for you. You can text it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.